Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, Jesus told a little parable. One of the most powerful parables that he told had to do with a man who was making big plans for his life. He had been a really successful farmer. Jesus described him as having his ground yielded plentifully, and he struggled with what to do with all that he had accumulated. He said, "I just don't have room for all this. I'm going to expand the business. It's time for an upgrade. I'm going to build something greater than what I have here now. I need more." In his soul, he said to himself, "You've done so well. You can retire early. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And the greatest tragedy happened. That night, he died. Little did he know that at the close of his day, God would stop his heart. God had appointed for him to die, and it was all over. And Jesus asks the question, "What then becomes of your barns? This is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." James has this on his mind. That's what we're studying this week. James is concerned for Christians in their wait for the Lord. And so in verse 7, he calls them of James chapter 5, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." That comes in the same kind of context as Jesus' parable. Remember what he said in James 4. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Here is concern. Everyone rises to their lives every morning and they live their lives as independent from the Creator. They don't acknowledge Him. They don't pray to Him. They don't recognize that their lives are a gift from Him. Everyone makes their plans in life. And they live as if making money, being successful, creating a name for oneself is the be-all and the end-all of one's existence. And James is ripping all of that away and saying, you have absolutely no control over your life. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So he's challenging us. We're here for a little while. Our lives are a mist, and then they vanish away. And that's why at this point, James goes in and he levels a warning against the rich, those who are living for the riches of this world, living for what this world has to offer, and in the same process, hurting those whom they have to step on to get it. And as people cry out to the Lord for all the injustice of just sheer greed in this society, the Lord is telling us through James, it's almost over. I can only endure so much of this. Now, we left off yesterday. The reason James has been so strong here is because he's describing what's going to happen so as to encourage the sheep, encourage the believer. James' concern is that in all of this injustice, in a world of total moral failure, as societies wax worse and worse, that the Christian will either give up or get drawn into it. And so now James addresses the believer, and this is what I really want to work with today. In the beginning of chapter 5, he had warned the rich about their behaviors, and then he turns in verse 7, "Therefore, brethren," in other words, since all this is going on, I don't want you to get drawn into it all. I don't want you to forget what this life's all about, why you're here, what your purpose is, and to think that it's just about making a profit and living the good American dream. It's not it. These are dangers you can easily fall into, and that doesn't produce a heart fixed on what is to come. So I want you to be patient. Patient until the coming of the Lord. It's an interesting word choice. It means to wait with patience. And the whole call here is given in the struggle. He says, "See how the farmer waits for the fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Really interesting comparison here, because Jesus used this one of a farmer to condemn the mentality that this is worldly. Was also a farmer who said what? A farmer said, I have a lot, I can live in ease, I can plan, I can build my barns and eat, drink, and be merry. But the farmer that James describes here is different. This farmer recognizes that he still has to work. And here's what he's saying about this one. He describes this farmer's crops as precious to the farmer, meaning that the farmer's not a wealthy man who doesn't have to worry about many things, but he's a farmer who depends on the good harvest for his own survival. And to survive in this world, he has to patiently wait for the rain. That's the picture. James is calling us to patiently wait for the Lord. Here, the farmer has to patiently wait for the early and the latter rain so that he can live. And so James is applying this to the Christian. And he's saying, I know that you're being afflicted and tried in this life. I know it's hard. I know there are many temptations hitting you, and that often you feel discouraged and you feel like a failure and you become worldly and you take your eyes off of the Lord and you feel like giving up. But consider this, says James. Consider the farmer, how he is dependent on the rain and he labors in the fields knowing he needs water. So here's how you are to live. Just like that farmer who is patient over his farming until the rain comes, so I want you to be patient over your trials until the Lord comes. So you see what he's doing? He's picking up where he left off in chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. These very severe hardships are doing something for you, says James. In your patient wait for the Lord, see these hardships, see these trials that you face as something the Lord is using to train you, to advance you in maturity. Set your desires in these hardships on becoming mature and complete. These things are producing this completeness in you. Just like the farmer who has to be really patient in his farming, waiting for the rain and the final harvest, this is how you are to live. And here's the thing, we don't have to wonder whether rain is coming. James is using the farmer, analogy here in description, assuming that he believes and knows the rain is coming. And James is saying, just as that is certain for the farmer, James is saying the Lord is coming. Wow, this is really important for us, isn't it? So there are many discouragements in this wait. And in this wait, as the hardships hit you, as the trials afflict you, it's easy to lose heart. And to become worldly and to think that God does not care, or that God is not hearing, or that Jesus is not coming, or that there's not even an end to all of this. Dear listener, there's an end. It's real soon. And as injustices accumulate in the world, as injustices accumulate in societies, as rulers refuse to do what is right, what that tends to do in people is infect them with coldness. It infects us with indifference. And James is saying, this is where the call to patience comes in. Don't lose sight of the end. Isn't that important? When you're in something, you never can see through the clouds, can you? They're dark, they're stormy, but there is an end. There is something outside of those clouds. There's the sun. How do I keep focused on that? What does he say in verse 16? If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. This is really important. Jesus told another parable. I'm going to close with this today. This parable comes out of Luke. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. See that? Prayer is the antidote to losing heart. Feeling discouraged, like you've given up, failing, miserable, seeing all of life crush in. Men ought always to pray, says Jesus, and not lose heart. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It's a very powerful little parable because he's describing a woman who has been deeply afflicted. Whatever it is, she's been robbed. She's faced the greatest injustice with whatever she has. It's been taken. She faced nothing but pain, nothing but injustice. And so she kept coming to the authorities. She kept coming to the judge, the one who could make a difference. And she just kept coming. She was relentless. She came and she came and she kept on coming. And finally, the judge was so tired of hearing her. He got her justice. He says, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but I'm just sick of this woman coming to me, so I'm just going to give her what she wants. Now, Jesus applies that to prayer and says, what do you think? Do you think God acts like that unjust judge? Of course not. Every prayer, every little cry he hears, it goes up to the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. The Lord hears it all. And he's going to make it right. That's his promise to the believer. He will make it right. And so the Lord encourages us to be in prayer. But then the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In other words, the time before Jesus comes will be so lawless. So many people will have grown cold. So many people will not be looking. They will have grown worldly. They will have been sucked into the world's values, its cares, its things that it values the most. And the Lord challenges and says, who is going to be praying? Remember the disciples, when they were called to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, slept. The Lord is saying here, prayer is the antidote. Prayer is the avenue, the means by which God will hear and answer and strengthen your hearts, establishing your hearts for his coming. You see, if you're not a believer today, the world has overcome you. There's no hope apart from Jesus Christ. And James is telling us to turn our faces to him, to look to him. He's going to come and remedy all of this, putting an end to this world, all the sin, all the sorrow, all the suffering, all the tears, all the crying, and he will usher in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell. Are you going there? You must fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.